This is Booth 46, live from Petorino's. Not just in the heart of the Loop, but the heart of the Loop. Surrounded by theater, culture, and Chicago's movers and shakers. Each episode brings you, as Irv Kupcinet used to say,
the lively art of conversation.
Local vibes, real conversations, and fresh ideas for experiencing the city. So pull up a chair, lean in, and let's dive into the stories that shape Chicago.
Hi, my name is Steve Dale, and this is the inaugural broadcast of Booth 46 from Petorino's Restaurant. This is so exciting for me because it's an opportunity to do what I love to do, and that is support and promote Chicago. And this restaurant is in the heart of Chicago, but above and beyond that, it's everything that's around us. And the two gentlemen that are, it's my honor to have as the first guest, you know, there's a book called River North, and this guy has been called the mayor of River North. I know. But what I didn't know was the impact that Mr. Al Friedman has had on River North and beyond for Chicago. And we'll talk about that. And Lou Raisin is also here, who has his fingers in everything, including the CEO of Broadway in Chicago. So my first question for both of you in this inaugural podcast, which will be the question that I ask first for every guest, and this time we'll have a very boring answer. What are you guys drinking?
Does a Diet Coke sound interesting to you?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay. It sounds great to me right now.
I would ask, what are you drinking?
A Diet Coke.
There we go.
Well, let me explain. I figure it's the first one.
All right, so here you are. We toast you. We're all three having Diet Cokes.
All right.
Cheers.
But for the next one coming up, which will be, by the way, the stars of MJ, which is coming to Chicago.
Yes.
It won't be a Diet Coke. It'll be one of the old fashions that Petorino's is known, rightly so, for. So, Mr. Friedman, the first thing I want to ask you is, the first time I met you, I thought, you know, well, this guy right over there, it must be from Kenilworth or some rich place somewhere, right? Because you've been so incredibly successful doing things that have made a change for Chicago. But that's not the case at all.
Well, no, I didn't grow up there. I grew up in the city. I grew up in a very small 600-foot basement apartment with my parents and sister, and went to grammar school and high school in the city, and worked every day in the city. In fact, I worked on Maxwell Street as a kid.
Selling things?
Selling things.
What did you sell?
Well, interestingly enough, my dad had a rooming house that he was a manager of at Jackson and Clark, where there's a federal building today. And they had the train conductors who would come there, and they loved playing pinochle. And my dad had a little room. They'd play pinochle. The 8, 9s, and 10s were taken out of those decks, and they were left on the side. They only played two hands with those cards because people would be able to mark them. I don't know from that. My dad said, there's hundreds of cards here, hundreds of decks of cards. I have a printer who can shave off a 16th of an inch, and you can put them back in the deck. They'll be like new. And my grandparents had a little pawn shop on Maxwell Street. Every Sunday I went there, and I put 25 cents a deck of cards, even Lou didn't know this, and a 10 for $2. And I used to say, quarter, drink of water, and I'd make $100 cash every Sunday on Maxwell Street.
And $100 at that point in time was a fair amount of money. I bet this is the first time you publicly have told that story.
That's true.
Yeah. So your background, though, is that it's tragic in a way. You lost your mom very early.
Yes.
And your dad not too long after
That's right. But
how old were you at the time?
Mom, I was 11 when my mom passed away and 21 when my dad did. But what I learned is the appreciation for the upbringing, being with parents, the inspiration they give you, and never giving up. And I remember going to work every day in high school with my dad, and everyone said, wow, can I come to work with you too? So I learned a great deal working every day, and I learned a lot about the city.
So the question I have about that is, do you eat hot dogs today?
Yes, of course I
explain,
don't.
Explain why I'm asking that question.
Well, he had
and
a
hot, I only I know about it because I read it in your book here.
He had a hot dog stand, and I worked so hard on it, he wound up naming the hot dog stand after me. It was open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. By the way, the hot dog was 25 cents. A soda with it was 10, so it was 37 cents. And we sold Italian beef sandwiches long before they became so popular. And that was 35 cents for the Italian beef sandwich. And we would kill it. We'd be open all the time. And I'd go there and work with my father all the time. So it was a great experience. I'm glad I shared that. But I got to know the city well. I got to know all kinds of different people. So it was an upbringing.
So my question with that tragedy in your life so early on, yes, you learned how to be an entrepreneur and to play cards in a very unique way.
Yeah.
I understand that. But what is your secret? What has it been? And I'm going to ask you, Lou, the same question that I just asked.
When people give up, I don't.
That's the same answer. You don't give up. It's one of those things that I focus on often. And Robert Jarvik is the guy that created the artificial heart. He has a line that he talks about, that the only way you can push big and bold and you can do things that other people might not do is you don't think about the odds against you. You just do it because you know it's got to be done. That's Al's story.
Well, apparently yours too.
It
so
is.
Talk a little bit about yours as well.
Well, there's a Japanese line called Ikigai. Ikigai is the convergence of four circles. You do what you love, you do what you're good at, you do what you can be rewarded for, and you do what the world needs.
So how does one get into a place where that can happen, Al? Especially since, I mean, you ended up going to Northwestern.
Yes.
But could have gone another way, I suppose.
It could have, but you know, what I find is when someone says you can't do something, you try harder. At the time that my dad passed away in 1970, people were leaving the city at that time,
mm-hmm. Okay,
in many ways like they're doing today, and people said, why would you stay there? They were giving up their buildings. I loved history, so I started buying these older buildings, and I loved restoring them.
How many buildings are there with your name on it, one way or the other, in not only River North, but in Chicago?
Probably about 60.
Amazing. It would be hard to avoid you, is what you're saying.
Well, you know, it's cute. We've got 9 city blocks, and Cranes years ago said, would you mind us doing a story on this?
Cranes Chicago Business.
Yeah, Cranes. Yeah. That's okay. So this young lady came around and walked with me, and I said hi to everybody, and they said, you know everybody. I said, yes, I that's my relationship. She said, do you mind if I call you by this name, Mayor of River North? I said, what? And it stuck. So,
well, for good reason, but you are the mayor of Broadway in Chicago, Lou, and I want to talk about that and an idea that you have for this part of town that we're in right now, the Chicago Loop, that it's going to happen. So 10 years from now, when you come downtown, it'll be so different and greatly out of this guy's head who's sitting to the right of me. Booth 46 is where we're at. WGNradio.com is where you can hear this or wherever your podcasts are heard. You know, for months, Italian dining in Chicago's downtown theater district has been important. And it's always Pettorino's. You can join them for now. Summer Sips in the Loop. That's 2 to 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. to close on Monday through Friday, and enjoy their amazing corner patio at Dearborn and Randolph, and enjoy jazz every Monday night. Really good jazz music, al fresco style, as Pettorino's opens their bar doors so you can listen on the patio. And do you know what else? You can bring your dog. Do you have a dog?
Yes, I did have a dog. But right now I work so often that I didn't want to leave my dog at home.
Do you have a dog?
I do.
Okay. Well, you could bring your dog. I expect to see you. And those dog treats that we have, and this is true, we have either a 17 or 18-year-old dog. And it's difficult to motivate her to get her something to eat that she likes at this point in time. She has suffered pancreatitis several different times, right? So these dog treats that you have, She loves.
I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, so are we.
No, we're open-minded. Well, I'm completely open-minded when it comes to that. I want to be pet-friendly. I want to be people-friendly. I want to accept everybody.
Even the guy to my right, Lou Raisin, CEO of Broadway in Chicago, who has an interesting idea or two or three or 23 for Chicago. Before we hear those ideas, what is coming is a miracle. And I think that Doris Davenport of Broadway in Chicago had the best description. This is, what did she call it?
Showbiz in a bowl.
Showbiz in a bowl. And that's what this is, the amazing, amazing peppermint ice cream from Pederino's, which, by the way, if you don't know, friends, this will change your life. I believe that is true, and it's being delivered to us right now. It's actually in my contract. When I heard I was going to... It is, literally! Except you guys are getting... Oh, there's mine. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Now, tell me about the Cultural Stadium and how Chicago... I'm making up the numbers, 10 years about right, will be very different downtown in some ways than it is at this very moment.
It's basically a Millennium Park level of an effort in terms of transforming our downtown, you know, from Oak Street Beach into the South Loop, from the lake to the Kennedy. And it's really thinking holistically about what kind of move we can make. And culture has changed our downtown twice before on a generational basis. We saw it with the Theater District and what it did. We saw it again a generation later with Millennium Park, and it's now time for culture to do it all over again.
Do you think, Al, that this area, the Loop, needs an infusion of culture?
Well, there's no question that what people look for is not merely a place to live, a place to go to work, but a place to have hospitality and culture, to have that environment in which they feel they're a part of. It's significant and critical, and Lou is an icon when it comes to that, and spearheading this is just absolutely, you know, beyond words. That's why this restaurant is a critical component of what is the Theater District all about. It's not just about theater. It's about the culture that's involved in the museums. It's involved in the hospitality, the restaurants. It's all those things together that add up.
Mm-hmm. So I go to... say Houston. I don't want to knock Houston, but I'm about to. And I walk around their downtown area. You know what I don't see? Dogs. And that means there aren't people living downtown. Here, I had read that Chicago's downtown area, and I don't know if that's included North Michigan Avenue or not, is number one in the country when it comes to residents actually living here. So what you're talking about, Lou, and we'll explain further what you're talking about, is not only for tourists, it's for everyone in the city.
It is. You think about it from a tourist perspective first. Today's tourists are experiential collectors. It's about that something that they've seen. It's about the experience they have. They're not interested in buying something. They're interested in tasting something. They're interested in experiencing something. It's something they haven't seen before. It's a narrative that they can go home and talk about. That's what's precious. That's what energizes today's people. And when you think about that, that's quality of life for people that live here as well. So it's all of those things coming together.
And I think that what happens is that with someone like Lou, who is not very narrow in his focus, but very broad-minded, it's no different than, for example, myself. It's not just about working on older buildings or new buildings or office alone or restaurants alone, retail, it's all these things together. So that's why I got involved in hotels, parking garages. When I took over Medina Temple and that whole block, which arguably is one of the most significant historic blocks in the city, I was frustrated in trying to figure out how I could make this work. So one day I get a call while I was busy trying to put all the numbers together, and they said, Hillary's on the phone. I said, I don't know any Hillary's. They said, she insists on talking to you. It was her last year in office as First Lady, and she went and said, here are the most significant historic buildings in the United States that I want to save, and this is one of them. So we tried to be very creative, and it was really a rich, rich
history.
We
meaning you and the man sitting right here.
No, well, if he was there, I would have had him do something. But as it turned out, we wound up doing Bloomingdale's Home Store. Now, of course,
that's
we have
how
a casino.
Happened.
Yeah, but because yeah. she helped. And that's what it takes. It's not just about us as business people with great ideas. Government has to work with us, too. That's the point I'm making to you.
And that can be challenging, I suppose. So, I am walking downtown. I am just in the loop. And I make a right turn down an alley. And I get hit by poetry. That's one of your ideas.
Poetry Way is something that I had a conversation with the Poetry Foundation. They're an international organization based in Chicago. And I said to them, I said, you really need to plant a flag. You need to celebrate who you are and where you are. And you've got to let the city and the world know. And so the alleyway next to the Chicago Theater is going to be Poetry Way.
Wow. And that's just the beginning. So you are going to use buildings, and I think the Merchandise Mart has already done this in some way, where you could see things, you have to explain it to me, on the buildings as you walk around downtown or take a ride on the river.
That was a concept that I came up with as part of the lighting framework plan for the city. And it took Rahm's tenacity. There's a person that understands tenacity.
Is he, by the way, going to run for president?
You have to ask Rahm.
No, you know everything.
When the time is right, you'll have an answer to that.
Yeah, we would support him.
Okay. So he worked well with both of you.
Rahm was wonderful. Rahm was supportive.
What made him wonderful?
Because he viewed us as a partnership. And that's exactly how Lou and I felt about Rahm. The river that you see that's so active is because of Rahm.
Really?
Without question. Before that, it wasn't what it is today. Rahm really turned it all around.
And Mayor Daley, the second Mayor Daley,
yes.
you worked with as well.
Yes, and he's the one responsible for the Theater District and Millennium Park and so many other wonderful things you see in our city.
Speaking of which, at some point in time, will it be a horror movie? I don't know. There will be something I'm calling Quackzilla. It'll be a duck larger than a sky, any of your buildings. This duck is going to be, you look up, and there will be a giant duck. Am I right about that?
We've been working in that direction. We'll see what happens over time. We've been having conversations with the Special Olympics. Do we align, or does the duck go on its own? We'll see. We'll see.
Will it be a rogue duck or not? And that now, all of these ideas and many more, we just don't have time to do, you know, to talk about all of them. Are they going to be a reality, or are they?
Oh, there's no question. We're getting closer and closer to an announcement of how we kick off the cultural stadium and the first three initiatives, and we're probably a month or two away from that announcement. And one of the things we want to be able to represent, just like Millennium Park, it takes a coordination of civic, philanthropic, and corporate all coming together. That's what was needed for Millennium Park, and that's what's going to be needed for the cultural stadium as well.
And that's what both of you have done for a career. It's really such an honor to have you both here. I'm a little disappointed you haven't dived into the peppermint ice cream.
Oh, we will.
Oh,
right,
good.
Right afterwards, we don't want to hurt your feelings because we're going to eat it all.
That is the most important thing. I'll tell you, people may not know your names, and there are other individuals just like you that have made such an enormous impact for the city of Chicago, for all of us who live here. So from that perspective, I thank you all. I thank you both very, very much.
We both share that passion for the improvement and well-being of our city and the future of it.
You know, Petorino's is covered. The walls are covered with people that often live behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, Al and I, that's where we spend a good chunk of our time.
And that's where they want to keep me. For this podcast, the inaugural podcast, Booth 46, at Petorino's, you were my go-to.
Anyway,
you're the guys I wanted, so thank you.
And we appreciate everything you're doing, too.
Well, thank you very much. And the next one that you hear, you will hear the stars of MJ from Broadway in Chicago, a name that's familiar to you. Thank you all very much for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time.
Thank you.
That's a wrap from Booth 46 at Petorino's, where the loop comes to life. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, keep the conversation going and keep exploring Chicago.